racism and prejudice are just the horrible social diseases that impact most human beings. And what makes it difficult to deal with it in our lives, even as Christians, is that we don't recognize it for what it is. It's just part of sometimes our personality. It's sometimes very natural. And it's not just an American thing. I think we're actually really blessed in this country. But there's a definitely problem for Jewish Christians in the first century, particularly those who lived in the vicinity of Jerusalem. Even some of the choicest servants of God didn't recognize how prejudiced they really were. During Paul's extended mission in Tarsus, where he's witnessing, he faced incredible prejudice and persecution from his fellow Jews. And God was at work in the hearts of the Jewish Christians throughout Galilee and Samaria. It was a time of peace as believers were strengthened. The church grew in numbers as they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. But it was uniquely a Jewish church. Even the apostles did not believe that Gentiles could be saved, at least without first becoming converts to Judaism. It may seem strange since they were the ones who had been given the Great Commission in a special way to go and make disciples of all nations. It was to them Jesus had said just before he ascended, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Somehow they had missed the meaning of Jesus' words, even prior to the cross when he identified himself as the good shepherd who had laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus went on to explain that he had other sheep that were not of this sheep pen, namely the Gentiles. He says, I must bring them also. So he continues, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So clearly Jesus was referring to the fact that he was going to die for the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles, and all were welcome into his family. Though all the apostles needed to personalize and internalize this great truth, the Holy Spirit zeroed in on Peter since he was the primary leader of these men. And though thousands of Jews had put their faith in Christ for salvation as a result of his preaching, he was still deluded into thinking that only Jews and perhaps God-fearing Gentiles who had converted to Judaism could be saved. So what makes this even more startling is that Peter still believed this at least 5 years after Pentecost. So we see this vision that hits in Acts 10, beginning of verse 9. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him a second time, What God has made clean, do not call common. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having been inquiring for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose, went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. So on one occasion, Peter's in Joppa. This is a seaport town, the coast of Mediterranean. He was staying with a tanner named Simon. One day he climbed the stairs leading to the rooftop to spend time in prayer. Down below, Simon's wife, or perhaps a maid, was preparing a meal. The aroma ascended the staircase and probably stimulated Peter's appetite. The Lord used this human experience to set the stage for a supernatural vision. So he falls into a trance, had a vision, and in this dream he saw something that looked like a a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained a variety of animals, mostly unclean, as specified by Jewish law. Suddenly, Peter heard a voice commanding him to kill and eat. Now, in his dream, Peter stubbornly refused. He had never eaten unclean animals. The same thing happened two more times, and again he resisted the command. Just as quickly as the sheet had appeared the first time, it disappeared. Then Peter woke up. Predictably, he's perplexed. What could this vision mean? And in God's sovereign plan, three men knocked at Simon's door. Just as Peter was musing over this experience, it was very puzzling. The Holy Spirit spoke directly, informing him these men had come looking for him. God says to him, "Get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter, who's still confused, discovered an amazing thing as he conversed with these men. They had come from Caesarea, where they served in the household of a man named Cornelius, who was a wealthy Gentile. He's a centurion, a high-ranking official in the Roman army. However, he and his family were devout and God-fearing, and he's also generous, helping to care for the poor, and he prayed regularly to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These men explained to Peter that their master had also received a vision. He had seen an angel of God who informed him that the Lord had honored his prayers and his gifts to the poor. Furthermore, the Lord had told Cornelius to send these men to Joppa to find Peter and to bring him back to Caesarea to meet with their master. We go on with this in the 23rd verse down to the 48th verse. It says this, "And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone or of another nation. But God has shown me that I shall not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that have been commanded by the Lord.' So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and dead, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.' While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues, extolling God. And then Peter declared, 'Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days." So we see that Peter understood immediately what had just happened to him on the rooftop. And he understood it as supernatural. It was no mere accident or normal dream. Consequently, he departed for Caesarea the next day and entered Cornelius' home. This large group of people had already gathered, awaiting his arrival. Peter's opening comment indicates what had been the extent of his confusion regarding God's plan of salvation. He says, "You are well aware," Peter stated, "that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him." Clearly, Peter still believed the gospel was only for Jews, at least prior to his vision in Joppa. As he began to speak, he shared his new insight, something Jesus had told him over 4 or 5 years before, but which had not registered in his prejudiced mind and heart. I now realize how true it is. Peter admitted publicly that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what's right. Peter then delivered his message, a message of forgiveness through Christ's resurrection. And before he had finished, the Holy Spirit fell on these Gentiles that had fallen on the Jewish believers of the day, Pentecost. And just as Peter had done on that day over 5 years before, to the Jews who had believed, he baptized these Gentile converts in Caesarea. And another church is born, a Gentile church. So, racism, prejudice, is nothing new, and we all work through it, and we all push it aside for the cause of Christ.